All right, everybody. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning. I'm Perry White. Glad to have you guys with us. We're here for the second hour of the show. Good morning to everybody listening on Talk 107.3 FM across the Baton Rouge Capital City area and everybody watching across the globe on the Jaguar Journal YouTube channel. Hey, we're on Twitch TV, Facebook. We're everywhere you want us to be, as well as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever. You go subscribe, you go follow, you go like. We're the Jaguar Journal across all social media. The brand is growing. If you have not seen it, it is out there. And we want you to continue to grow with us as we show more and more people who it is, what we do, and why we do it here on Talk 107.3 for the Jaguar Journal. I'm Perry White. I got a very special guest here in the studio this morning with me. He's my main guy when it comes to Southern. WAFB sports reporter, my man Kevin Baptiste. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for the riveting intro.
Hey,
I love the build up.
Next time I will add more to make sure I really go over the top for you, Kevin. Because nah, you good. Know you my dog, man. Listen, good morning.
Good morning, man. I said, we here.
We here.
We here. You know, I walked in here. You asked me what's up. I said everything.
Yeah, and like, I was like, what does that mean?
It means it's football season.
Oh, you're running.
You already know what happens when August get here.
Yeah. You ain't even got to the Thursday, Friday night high school games.
Haven't got to that yet. Don't remind me.
Hey, don't remind me. I got to officiate. You know what I'm saying? I got to get out there and run up and down the field. And hopefully you record me putting my hands up for a touchdown and not falling down somewhere, right?
Yeah, you'll have your spotlight on Sportsline.
I appreciate that. Per usual. Make me look good, okay, Kevin? Make me look good. Just say, hey, the referee made a hell of a tackle right there, okay?
Oh, yeah, I got you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. See, that's why you my boy, man. You look out. It's all about how you do it with the PR.
Yeah.
Southern University football week 2 of Southern University fall camp. Last week, Brendan Fairburn was able to come on from NBC 33 and give us his idea of what's happening around. Now I got to hear from you because, listen, I know one thing. If anybody going to travel with Southern when they go somewhere, Kevin Baptiste going to be there.
Oh, absolutely.
You went to Daytona Beach.
Drove to Daytona Beach. Didn't just go to Daytona Beach, drove to Daytona Beach. A nice little 10-hour ride. all through the trees in the Florida Panhandle.
Hey, most of the networks will not send nobody that far to cover Southern. You were there. That's why I know the dedication is there. Did you enjoy yourself though?
No. No. On top of the weather was nasty that weekend, and I ain't even got to talk about the game because
it was nasty.
If you watch that game or you remember that game, then I ain't got to go in detail about the outcome.
I was in Jackson State that day for Jackson Alabama State game. It was Jackson's homecoming.
Okay,
and they announced the score as the game was going on. You know, you hear Bethune Cookman, then you hear Southern. The whole stadium said, "Damn." I was like, oh, my God. Don't embarrass me today, Southern.
Yeah, but by the time it got to the third quarter, I was telling myself, I was like, you know what? South Beach is just, you know, about another 4 hours away. Do I want to take this ride to Miami and just like, you know what?
Make it worth your while, right?
I might as well make this long drive. Might as well make it some more.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
On the company dime, too. You know what I'm saying? Take care of a boy.
But, I mean, yeah, that was last year.
As we move forward from last year, we're moving forward into a new year. Coach Marshall Faulk, his staff, new players. That's a lot of new things to this program. And like you told me, you know the program a little bit better now coming out of the spring, coming into fall camp. And one thing about football these days, now more than ever, it is harder to keep up with football programs because there was a time where when we look at programs, we saw guys matriculate from freshman to sophomore by the time they became juniors and seniors. You were familiar with that guy through the little playing time they was getting. And now it seems like it's time for the breakout or for them to be a key contributor as a part of that program. But now with this day and age with the transfer portal, just as soon as you think you know a guy, that guy is gone. And just as soon as you thought you knew the program, you don't really know much because you're trying to figure out guys who are coming into the program. I explain this to someone a lot of times when with this transfer portal, when you get the guys that come from the bigger schools, you try to go back and look at their film. You may find 45 seconds of a few times they got into a game, practice film, and maybe something from back in the day. But there's not typically a lot of film on those guys. And then when you get your younger guys, the high school guys, you just got to develop them up to be ready for the college side. But for Southern, now trying to get to understand this roster under first-year head coach Marshall Faulk and his staff, what has it been like for you in week 2?
Yeah, well, week 2 as far as the roster, I mean – you mentioned the young guys. They have a lot of young guys, a lot of freshmen. I think they mentioned like they had like the top high school recruiting class in the SWAC this season. Talking to Faulk and talking to Ty Light and Ken Merchant, some of the other coaches, they're adamant that they're going to rely on a lot of young guys. I mean, that just is what it is. I mean, of course, they returned a lot of the same guys from last year, but, I mean, whenever you're coming off the season that you're coming off, I mean, it's competition everywhere. I mean, jobs are available everywhere. And Todd Light especially, he said, yeah, we're going to rely a lot on our young guys. I mean, one thing about their scheme, you know, they like to have depth. This coaching staff has a very, very short tolerance for BS. And they said, like, you know, if you continuously mess up, you know, we don't really have time to really, you know, just stick with you. I mean, we're going to play some of these young guys and try to get this program right to, you know, really understanding the process. So really that and just understanding the intensity level of camp. I mean, since I've been covering the team, I have not seen practices this real, you know, intense. I mean, Marshall, he's really, you know, that calm, cool demeanor coach. But I mean, everybody else, especially the defensive guys, it's like, you know, like military drills. It's like they are very, you know, into it, detail oriented. If you mess up, they'll send you to the back of the line of the drill or something. Like, yeah, they are really on it with the P's and Q's.
Let's look at the staff itself. And for you being introduced, of course, Ty Light, the defensive coordinator, Ken Merchant coming in with the as offensive coordinator. And I think the circle, let's start there with the offensive coordinator, Ken Merchant. He was the quarterback coach last year at Sacramento State. He comes in and he brings an offense that's going to be a little new for people just by simply the name. The go-go offense, it's nothing more than a split backfield with two of the running backs on one side, more so than left-right of the quarterback. It has a lot of variation of what Southern already has seen before, inside zone, along with an option to the outside with an RPO also incorporated with it. So it takes a really good dual threat quarterback to make sure that you keep a defense honest, right? If they bite, they could pay for it with the legs of a quarterback and the options that he has. But looking at the go-go offense starting there for you and looking at it as it's being installed at Southern.
I like the variety of it. I mean, I do like the fact that it gives Southern really a true identity, because I feel like these last few years, it was literally just line up in a spread and just hand the ball off and see if you can get head on the head and break off a big run. This offense, like I said, there's a lot of seems like, you know, misdirection, pre-snap motion, eye candy. Like you said, a lot of options, maybe, you know, inside zone. So there's a good little variety of everything. And it's going to take a lot of running backs. And it's going to take a lot of running backs. I mean, everybody likes to talk about Trey Holly. I mean, Trey Holly is the guy, but I mean, that running back room is deep, and I wouldn't be shocked if all seven or eight of them get some type of run this season. I mean, Barry Remo probably won't play this season after having a procedure done on his knee. The surgery went well for him, so, I mean, wish Barry the best. But it's going to be a lot of not just Trey Holly, but, I mean, this freshman, they got Champ Davis. They really like him. Freshman from Arkansas. He was a state champion. Really athlete. You can put him up behind the line of scrimmage. You can split him out wide. They return Mike Franklin. He showed some flashes last year, but his main thing was really staying healthy. So it'll be interesting to see how he does with his health. And then they also got AA, Marion Asbury. He got somewhere last year. Jason Gabriel, Princeton Cahey, all these guys. So, I mean, a lot of these running backs, they will eat in this offense.
Yeah, I would love to see it, too, because of the difference in styles at running back, too, that Southern has. It's kind of all over the place. You got a bruiser. You got an elusive runner. You got all type of stuff. And especially when you look at a guy like Jason Gabriel, he's more like that scat back. He can catch it out the back. You can put him at multiple areas in order to use him. But I guess when you look at Trey Holly, that's going to be the breadwinner that everybody's going to be looking for, because I think the goal for Trey this year for Southern fans is going to be, it has to be 1,000 yards or more when you look at his ability.
And that's the thing. Last year, he ran for just over 800 yards just by doing what I said. Just, you know, just give the ball to Trey, see if he can find the crease and just break off a long run. Now he really has, they really have, you know, some type of, you know, system, really something to really get him going. So it'll be interesting to see that. One thing I've been seeing in practice also, Perry, is they want to get these running backs in space. Use their speed, use their talents to their advantage. Get them outside, you know, get into the boundary, get them swing passes, little short under routes, get them in one-on-one situations to where they can really show their skill set and break off those long runs.
Yeah, typically with your running back, you want them one-on-one to make that first guy miss or just make it damn well hard to tackle me just off the sheer strength. And then you can pick up those yards, right? And I think that's what Southern's looking for. Hey, you can pick up 4 yards a play. Mm-hmm. We going, that's touchdowns every time. Yeah, you going down the field. I mean, 3 plays is a first down, right?
Yep.
So if Southern can manage 4 yards to play just off of that, them touchdowns, that's offense staying on the field. And what we saw last year, that offense was off the field. Defense played so many minutes in time of possession. It was crazy.
29 touchdowns last season. 29 touchdowns in 12 games. You do the average, that's like 2.4
yeah.
touchdowns per game.
Yeah, hey.
14 points per game.
It was tough. Yeah, and that was about what we saw to start the season against North Carolina Central. It was big plays that separated. That was Southern in the first half. They would get that 14-point lead or 14-point whatever they needed. Then in the second half, it just went away, right? The adjustments were not there. And the other teams just ultimately with the depth and even the talent was just able to take away from Southern. Let's look at Southern's offensive line. As much as we talk about those running backs, that O-line is where it's going to begin and end. And I heard you also ask Coach Falk about the snap infractions, right? The penalties that has really been a problem for Southern over the years of just costly mistakes on the line of scrimmage that have either stalled drives out, pushed Southern back, and made it third and forever, or whatever the case may be. But Donald Penn has taken over as the offensive line, and he is one of those roar guys, right? If you hey, you know what I'm talking about. You better be ready when Donald Penn show up out there if you think you're going to play offensive line because of the energy that he brings. But for you, looking at the depth at the O-line, the size, and your thoughts.
Man, big expectations for this offensive line this season. Big expectations, and that's not me saying this. This is what I've been hearing, what I've been told. I mean, obviously, we got our special coming up, and I just recently did interviews with a few coaches, few players, and they've all said the same thing. Like, this offensive line will be the MVP of this team. They will live and die with this offensive line. They are freaks of nature. They have the size. They have depth, and then you got, you know, Donald Penn, who was just really, really on them in practice. Perry, I tell you. Perry, I tell you, bro, like, it's hard not to hear his voice at practice. Yeah. I could be.
And it has like a Cali twang to it, don't it? Like,
man, look, I could be about 30, 40 yards away shooting the freaking linebackers. All you're going to hear is, what are we doing, guys? What are we doing? And some other things I can't say on here, man. But yeah, you will make sure that you will hear his voice. He is very, very detail oriented. He is on those guys periodically, but he does it out of love, and he does it just to make them better. So if this offensive line is not good, I will be shocked. Just everything I saw, everything I've heard, those guys will be the truth.
What about some names of some guys that are on the offensive line? Of course, when you bring in Donald Penn, who had a long NFL career play for the Raiders, he brings a wealth of experience knowing what it takes on that line. And, he blocked for people like a Marshawn Lynch, right? Mm. But when you look at this offensive line and you look at the depth, what are some of the guys that may stand out to you that could be part of this MVP offensive line?
Well, you got Jerron Lewis. He's one of the few returners on this offensive line. Guy who's on the right side, played a lot of football for Southern, for the last couple of years. They got a new center, Tim Ortiz Jr. from he played at Howard last season. Talked to him, interviewed him, real good kid. Real leader and every type of thing. The rest of the guys, the depth is just really good, for this offensive line. They're all about, I'd say, like 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", some other guys from some other HBCU programs. Whenever Falk told me about the pre-snap penalties, for him to say, guys, if we don't really have a problem with pre-snap penalties because if you're doing bad, we're just going to take you out. It takes an idiot to play an idiot. That's easily my favorite soundbite at camp so far. It takes an idiot to play an idiot. And if you constantly jump, don't know the snap count, then you're an idiot. So that alone tells me that they have the names and the size and the depth to get it done on the O-line.
Got my man Kevin Baptiste here in the studio with me right now. We're going to get ready to take a break. Kevin, WAFB Sports Reporter, does a great job. And we're going to talk more of Southern University football. It is week 2 complete of fall camp as we inch closer towards the Southern versus Alabama State game in Birmingham, Alabama for the Birmingham Football Classic. So you guys stay tuned as we continue more of the Jaguar Journal right after this, all right? All right, everybody, we are back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning. I'm Pierre White. Glad to have you guys with us. Good morning to everybody listening on Talk 107.3 across the Baton Rouge Capital City area and everybody watching across the world on our live, whether it's Facebook, whether it's YouTube, Twitch TV. Kevin, we all over the place. I got my man Kevin Batista here in the studio with me today, WFB sports reporter. Hey, he knows Southern. Like he said, he drove 10 hours to watch a Southern game. So if that ain't dedication...
Yeah.
And that was a solo trip, right?
That was a solo trip. Oh, I don't get no...
Man,
no
what help. Was your playlist like?
A little bit of everything.
Oh, it had to
a,
be.
A little bit of everything. It went from Michael Jackson to freaking DMX for like real quick.
Whatever, just to keep you... Because that panhandle part of the trip is a killer.
That's always the part.
Oh, man, it's like, are we there yet?
That's always the part. And that was really my first time really driving like into Florida.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to go, like, past Jacksonville and all that stuff. So, yeah, that was a drive.
Yeah. That's why you're on today, because you was dedicated. Well, nobody else reporting Southern that day from Baton Rouge, were they? They had the weekend off.
Oh, no, the advocate was there. Shout out
to the advocate.
Yeah, I got TJ. He was there, but he flew.
Oh, he didn't want to ride.
He flew.
All right, TJ, the advocate spent a little money over there. Listen, week two, Southern University football camp is complete. We talked about the offense in terms of the O-line and looking at that running back room because that's going to be essential. I think we can get back to the quarterbacks and wide receivers and more of that room. But now, for me, Ty Light and his defense. And let's look at Ty Light. What seems to be the base defense that they're going to bring out this year? Is it multi-D or is it going to be a set defense for them in terms of a scheme?
It's going to be a little multi. But at the same time, I think the main base I've been seeing is a little like a little 4-2-5 scheme.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Ty Light is a very intense guy. I mean, doesn't seem like much of the true conversationalist, but I mean, I don't know that. But it seems like he is really, you know, down to business. Like I said, really no time for BS. Really gets down to the nitty gritty. I mean, this defense, they are going to take on the personality of their coach.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, like, he wants to be, you know, they're going to be fast, they're going to be athletic, they're going to be aggressive, they're going to play a lot of man-to-man. I mean, even if they're in zone, they're going to get up in wide receivers' faces. And above all else, they are going to try to create turnovers.
Yeah.
That is something that we have not seen from Southern last season or last couple seasons. That's forcing a lot of turnovers, getting the helmet on the football, catching the football, and maybe even scoring some touchdowns. I mean, you help your offense out a little bit. So if this defense is nothing else, they're going to be physical.
I say Southern had to lead the nation and dropped interceptions, boy. I'm talking about. I've seen us drop so many opportunities, but main thing that I think really needs to be worked on is coverage and one-on-one, man-to-man, open field tackling. Southern has just been not good at that.
It's crazy, man, because it's funny. It's funny how you mentioned both of those things, because the interceptions. I remember at one point last year, at some point in the season, I basically like just made like a compilation of how many drop interceptions they had, especially after that Valley game, and that was the second game of the year. They should have had about 5 or 6 interceptions that game, and I'm like, look, I know the old saying that DBs are wide receivers who can't catch, but come on, guys.
Yeah.
Like, some of them were gimmies. Same thing with missed tackles, man. Same thing with missed tackles. I didn't really, you know, make a compilation, but I kind of have muscle memory with that. It's like, all right, guys, how many times can you let a receiver catch a 5-yard hitch and just take it 60 yards to the house? So it's like, yeah, tackling, that's another thing that's been improved on. It's like they have been preaching tackling and physicality in practice. Like even they ain't even got to be in full pads. They could just have shells on. Balancier and Greg Townsend, whoever, they'll be like, hey, man, stop giving me that soft you-know-what.
Yeah.
You know, we got pads on, bro. Add a little pop to it, man. I want to see somebody hitting. So, yeah, like I said, they're going to be physical.
And I love Anthony Balancier. He's Southern through and through. Played at Southern, won a SWAC championship in 2013, was the captain of that team. To have him back, he was over at Colorado, and to have him back here, he understands the program, the tradition, and what it means to win. And that's something that he can bring to that room of showing those guys what it means to wear Southern University on the jersey, to have that blue and gold. Let's start in the trenches. We talked about the O-line, but we got to talk about the D-line. D-line is going to have to be disruptive, and guess what? We're going to find out quick, fast, in a hurry when they're going against Alabama State, who typically has a big physical offensive line, and they're going to have some running backs ready to go. They're going to have a dynamic quarterback in Andrew Boddy along with speed on the outside with receivers, but that D-line is going to have to disrupt that Alabama State offensive line, and not just them, but the rest of the season. What do you see there?
I'll tell you what, Perry. D-line is my biggest question mark going into this season, because that's the game is won and lost in the trenches. And what they're coming off last year when you're losing, you know, people talk about Kelby, right, you know, rightfully so. Kelby was the guy the last couple of years. He's been the MVP. But at the same time, Southern as a whole, they had 22 sacks last year. Kelby had 9.5. But it's not just him. You got, you know, Zach Yassine and Demetrius Walker and Jamarlo Campbell. All those guys are gone. So just about all your production from those sacks are gone. Now you're relying on some of those other guys who are back, and you're relying on transfers. So who is going to really step up and really be that guy, be that superstar, be that, okay, it's third and eight, fourth quarter game on the line. Who's going to get that sack that really takes us home? And, I mean, I've yet to see that. I mean, they got some guys who looked the part. I mean, they brought in a transfer and really high on Jordan Dickerson, guy from Tennessee Chattanooga, played a lot of football, you know, real big, 6'4", 6'5". You know, they're really high on him. They return Kai Brown, Landon Young. On the inside, they got Demarion Johnson, LSU transfer. They got Jaden Rogers, played a lot of football last year. They brought in some other transfers, the Wiggins boys from UMass. So they got guys who look the part. It's just who's going to step up and be that guy. And we talk about coaches who have no tolerance for BS. They brought in Kyle Kramer, mm-hmm. former NFL player. He's coached at a lot of places. He's another guy who has no tolerance for BS. I mean, you think Donald Penn is intense. Yeah, there's a lot of profanity that comes out of Kyle Kramer's mouth, yeah. too. You know, I ain't gonna say the words exactly. So that's really the main position I'm looking at. If they can, you know, do their assignments, get some sex, then Southern can go a long way.
You know why I like different perspectives? Because as we move forward, last week Brendan told me his biggest question mark was the linebacker position because of how many new guys they brought in. For you, your thoughts on the linebacker? Because it was interesting to hear you say D-line, he say linebackers, and that's why I like it. But you looking at the linebacker position, what's your thoughts?
I mean, well, at least we're in the same agreement on the front. we're on the same agreement of the front seven. You know, the front seven, yeah. But linebackers, especially when you lose both your starting linebackers. You lose Vince Sullivan, you lose Mike Jones Jr. So now
who?
You Mike Jones. I like oh man, bring me back to my childhood.
You gotta be ready now. Yeah, anytime you say it, I'm gonna hit you with it.
281-330-8004. All
hit
right.
Mike Jones up on the low.
We still remember that.
Hey.
But what a time, man. What a time. But no, man, yeah, linebackers. That's another question mark too. You got returners. You got guys like a Marquise Batiste right down the road from Madison Prep. You know, if anybody understands the culture, it's a guy like him. He's played a little bit in the last couple of years, but now they're gonna be relying on him a lot more. And then you got transfers. A guy like Tay James. He's been making a lot of plays in camp so far. You know, every time they do team drills, it seems like he has a nose to the football.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like I said, they got the guys. It's just seeing who's going to be productive.
And when you start to look at the DBs, now, of course, we know who's going to be the anchor of that. Herman Brister, right? There's no doubt about it. He's going to be the leader. But when you look around him, last year he kind of was dealing with injuries and some other things, so you want to make sure he can stay healthy. But his tackle production was there. But when you look around, man, what are some other names to go along with Herman Brister is going to have to help Southern deep?
Well, they return Michael Williams. They return him, cornerback. You know, he plays like a little nickel. They return Ty Lee. Now here's the thing with Ty Lee. Ty Lee has played a lot of safety for Southern, but what they're gonna do now is they're gonna move him to cornerback. Asked Ty Light about what went into that decision. He said, "Well, Ty played a lot of cornerback in high school at Lafayette Christian, and they feel like they have a lot of guys at safety who can play right away, and really moving Ty to cornerback is really going to help them help their production on the outside. And as far as that safety, they got guys like Eric Reed, like that. So secondary is really athleticism, speed, you know, and turnovers. Like I said, we need a lot more. They need a lot more interceptions, and that's one of the things that Ty Light's been preaching for this unit. And as far as Herman goes, now we know that Herman is a very physical football player. He loves to hit. You know, he loves to be like Ronnie Lott out there. But one thing they want from him is to see ball, get ball, put your head on the football as much as you love to head hunt. And I feel like if he can focus more on that, then I'll carry this defense a long way.
And I know for a lot of the Southern people that he is a great spot because he's a Southern Lab guy.
Yeah.
From right across the street.
Yeah, we talk again, if anyone knows Southern, it is him. Went to Southern Lab. I mean, his family has a very long, rich history at Southern on the Bluff.
Yeah.
So, if anybody is passionate about getting this team on track, it's him. I know I asked him, I was like, Herm, man, I mean, last year, I mean, y'all didn't win a home game. He was like, yeah, protect the Bluff. That's definitely the one of the goals this year. I mean, we didn't win a game on the new turf. I feel like we disrespected the fans and everybody. That's just not who we are, and we are definitely gonna put on a better show at home.
So, I did not get it. 2-10 season. I didn't realize we didn't win a home game.
Did not win a home game.
That was slipped by me. And I'm typically good with stats, but I guess I just rather have forgotten, right? I forgot like it didn't happen, like it like the girl I dated in the eighth grade. Who cares, right? I forgot about it. God dang it. We didn't win a home game.
For the first time, at least on record. So there's a lot of Southern football history, but that was probably the first time in Southern football history they did not win a home game.
I remember that was times we didn't lose a home game. You know, so hey, we got a long way to go. Let's get ready to take a break. Let's go there. We got my man Kevin Baptiste, WFB sports reporter, here in the studio. When we talking week 2 Southern University fall football camp.
Mm-hmm.
You ready?
I'm ready. I got no choice but to be ready.
Well, we got to get ready to take a break. We'll be back, y'all. Stay tuned. More of the Jaguar Journal. All right, everybody. We're back. It's the Jaguar Journal. I'm Perry White. Good morning. Glad to have you guys with us. Good morning to everybody listening on Talk 107.3 on the radio side across the Baton Rouge Capital City area, and everybody on our digital media side watching all across the world, whether it's Twitch TV, Facebook, or on YouTube. Good morning. Glad to have you guys with us. Be sure to keep up with the Jaguar Journal across all social media. We're on Twitch TV, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, X, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube. I can go on and on, but guess what? All you got to do is go type in the Jaguar Journal. You will find us. Got my man Kevin Baptiste, WAFB sports reporter, here in the studio with me today. We're talking Southern University fall football camp, week 2.
Absolutely.
You know, can't skip over special teams.
Definitely not.
Let's talk about special
teams. Definitely
not. One thing I've known, not only just from the kicking game, Southern has not had a great return game since the legendary Willie Quinn. It finding Southern return, a punt return, a kick return, or even flipping the field, just punting the ball. I think I saw some of the worst punting, and it's just my honest opinion, that year we played Nichols. Oh, man, we couldn't get the ball. We couldn't punt the ball 30 yards. And we had a lot of special team miscues. Cost us a game against McNeese State. Two special team miscues. But just looking at special teams, Southern really, really has to improve in that area.
Got to. I mean, yeah, people like to focus on offense and defense, but special teams, that can also make you and break you, as we've seen in those games that you've mentioned. It dawned on me a few weeks ago. I was thinking, I was like, dang, when was the last time that Southern had a kickoff return for a touchdown?
I've been waiting. Where's the hourglass? What do you tell me?
Kickoff return for a touchdown.
You remember? Who was it?
I remember. I think it was Jalen Howard against – I think Lincoln.
Jesus Christ, Lincoln.
2023. I remember it was the opening kickoff. It was like a squib kick.
And Lincoln. We played a Lincoln. Who was Lincoln?
California.
Oh, we did play. But I don't. That game ain't even in the stats.
Hey, it's a regular season game.
It didn't happen.
That might not be a real program, but it was a real game.
Give me one against a formidable opponent.
A formidable opponent. Yeah. Okay, before then. I'll hit you with
Lincoln, man. That's us go run one back.
I'll hit you with this one. Shoot.
Suit up, Mike.
At least before then. The other one I can remember, it was during the COVID season against Texas Southern. I forgot exactly.
It was in Houston, huh?
In Houston.
Yeah.
I forgot exactly the name. I forgot who it was, but I remember I have it on camera.
Pull that out for your next report. Pull that out. This is the last time Southern got a kick return against a formidable opponent. That'll catch some attention.
Yeah. But as far as the specialists they have right now, of course, they return Nathan Zimmer. The pride of Central, local kid. Nathan Zimmer really had his, fair share of makes last year. But one thing, I guess, with Nate, I got to see him, hit some more from distance.
Yeah.
As far as power, that's really his main thing. Punting, it looks like it's a competition right now. Don't really have the names of the other guys, but, Nate, he did some punting last year. He's also been working on some punting in practice. I don't think your place kicker should be your punter. So, hopefully that gets situated. But, yeah, it'll be interesting, man. I mean, they brought in a new special teams coordinator, Cameron Rogers, a Florida guy. Been around the high school circuit around the Tampa area. Had some gigs, had some college programs, brought him in. Seems like he has a good control of everything. But, yeah, special teams, they got to get that right because too many times it has cost them in the past. Over the most Looney Tunes stuff. The snap goes over the punter's head and travels 40 yards back in the distance, man.
Some of
the stuff I saw.
Nathan Zimmer was the intern here. He was working with the Jaguar Journal. One of the things talking to one of the coaches last year was his kicks. They're more line drives more than they get lift under them. And that was why he said he was having issues line driving them. He has to get more lift, so hopefully he gets a chance to work on that. But I'm really curious to see with the talent of what Southern is going to use in the return game to try to create some sparks, flip the field, and get some opportunity to get some momentum to put the offense out on the field.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I could see getting some run as far as punt returns and kick returns. I mean, Jason Gabriel, I mean, he's been handling – most of the duties in the past, like as I mentioned, Champ Davis, the freshman, all-purpose guy. I mean, he was first-team All-State in Arkansas during his high school days, and he's also had a lot of opportunities at punt return. As far as who else it could be, you don't want your cornerbacks doing punt return. Those are really the main two I can see doing it. Maybe a guy like Kobe Brown, another fast guy, a wide receiver, slot guy, short, shifty. I can see him doing it. But somebody, just something that could have, Southern starting on at minimum their own 40.
Yeah.
Something, not where you're starting deep in your own territory.
Let's also look back at the offense, because then once that special teams make those plays, the offense run out on the field, and now this gives us an opportunity to talk about the wide receiver and the quarterback room, right? Wide receiver room. Southern has been waiting. I'm asking about that that kick return. I can't tell you the last time. Well, I can. Willie Quinn. Maybe the last time Southern had a 1,000-yard receiver. It could have been Hunter Register. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I don't know. But Southern had just stood out at wide receiver. I think that's the beginning and the end of it. And when you look at the quarterback room, Southern has just had a revolving door at quarterback for the past 4 or 5 years. And now you bring in, you got Wyatt McCauley, he's a part of the program. You got Ashton Strother, who was there last year. Then you bring in Christian Johnson. That seems to be the battle of those three. Dylan Compton, who was here last year, seems to kind of have went to the back of the line, as you say, with the coaches. But it seems those three, but all three seem to have their own style, which is really unique when you're looking at the go-go offense. Wyatt McCauley is more your real scrambler. Backfield creator is what we'll call him. Mm-hmm. Ashton Strother is just your drop back. I'm looking to pass it. Mm-hmm. Almost what they say, keep your feet in cement. That's almost him. And then you look at Christian Johnson, who last week, as Brendan said, he's a little bit of both of them. He can throw it. He can get down with it and run. But for you, your thoughts are looking at the quarterback position, because that's ultimately what's going to help the wide receiver room.
Yeah, Perry, I thought at least the quarterback, how it's presented to us, I thought that would change because, there's a lot of gamesmanship when it comes to telling the public who is the starting quarterback. And we were told during the spring by Marshall Faulk himself, he was like, we're going to go into the fall with our starting quarterback. We're going to know who the guy is. So, okay, you're going off what you're seeing in spring. And the two guys battling, that was Wyatt and Ashton. In my recent appearances on your show, I even said like Wyatt's gonna be the guy.
Yeah.
He's the athlete. He's that option guy that you want in this run heavy offense. But I guess they didn't like what they saw in the spring. I guess neither Wyatt nor Ashton really took the bull by the horns through the coach's eyes. That's my assumption.
I related to LSU in 2018 whenever they had, I think, Miles Brennan and Lowell Narcisse battling out in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And Coach O was like, we're gonna assist the quarterback position. And
give me a better Coach O voice than that.
Well, you know, we're going to assess the quarterback position.
We're going to go assess some quarterbacks. Yeah. We're going to make sure we get the right one out, though.
Yeah, and boy, did they, because they got Joe Burrow. They got Joe Burrow, and the rest is here. The rest is history. So, yeah, Southern went out, and they got Christian Johnson, transferred from Hutchinson Community College in Kansas. He was a part of their national championship team 2 years ago and then led them back to the national championship game last year. They ended up losing. But looking at his tape, he can do a little bit of both. I mean, as far as his throwing ability, he has a cannon on him. He can really sling that thing. And it seems like in this go-go offense, when it comes to the receivers, they want defenses to really sell out for the run, and that's whenever you hit them over the top. And you got to have that guy who can hit that deep ball on the money. Christian Johnson, as I said, he can really sling it on his tape. And his running ability, it seems like he is a very headstrong, put his body on the line type quarterback. When we talked to Falk at Swag Media Day, we asked him, he was like, man, what's one thing that stood out to you about Christian Johnson and y'all recruitment? He was like, when I talked to him, he was like, you know, coach, you know, if it's 4th-and-2, game on the line, and you need a play to be made, and you want to put the ball in my hands, you know, I'll quarterback draw, you know, I'll call my own number, put my head down, and truck somebody over and get the first down. That's what you want to hear from your quarterback. I mean,
yeah, I need him working out with the linebackers.
Yeah.
Go over there with them linebackers. When they work out, you go in there with them.
That's what you want to hear from your quarterback. So, yeah, Wide, he's got the athletic ability. But, I mean, maybe his passing might be a question mark. Ashton, he's a passer. He's a gunslinger. I relate him to Brett Favre. He kind of likes to, you know, throw it into, like, the tiniest of windows, and you live and die with what he does. But from what I've been seeing, I'd be shocked if Christian Johnson is not the starting quarterback. Even from the little ounce of team drills that we saw, he's the first one out there. Whenever they do individual drills, he's the first one to start Indy. So, yeah, I'll be shocked if he's not the guy going forward.
And let's look at the wide receiver room. Of course, Cam Jefferson. But we are so unfamiliar with the wide receiver room because nobody has stood out in some years to us. So it's going to be interesting to see, can someone finally make a name for themselves at Southern University wide receiver? Because I can't tell you the last time Southern even had a wide receiver that made all sweat.
If D-line is my biggest question mark, then wide receiver is my second. To your point, yeah, wide receiver position, it has not looked the hottest. I mean, your number one guy last year, that was Darren Morris. He's now at Boise State. Good luck to him. And stay warm out there, Darren. I know. stay warm out there, Darren. I've never been to Boise, but
wait till them November games.
Yeah. From how it looks on TV, it's just a little bit chilly. So you had Darren, and not even, you know, his production was high. Talking to Ken Merchant, I was like, you know, this offense, I know, is very run heavy. It's very run centric. But as far as your pass catchers, is there opportunity whenever that moment comes that you need to throw the ball? And he was like, yeah, it's open opportunity for everybody. CJ said the same thing. As far as their top three go-to receivers, it seems like it's, you know, Cam Jefferson. Scored a couple touchdowns last season. Kobe Brown, as I mentioned, another local project, product, St. James kid. They got a freshman, DeJohn Smith, real lengthy. Tight ends could get worked in the mix, too. I mean, you got Travis Minor Jr., Aiden Valdez. I seen him catch a couple of passes. I mean, it seems like he'll be worked in a little bit. And then they got the big tall guy.
That's who everybody keeps talking about. From a distance, you would think he's 7'6".
The big tall guy. His last name. Sorry if I butcher it. It's Ico, something like that.
I can't wait to hear the announcer in whatever stadium we in if he catches a touchdown and hear them say that.
But I'm like, God dang, bro. It's like, I'm like, man, like 6'7", like 6'9", like. I just be thinking, it's like, usually somebody that tall is like, dude, don't you want to be on the basketball court? I don't know his story. I mean, hopefully we interview him one day, but I got a feeling once they get in the red zone goal line, get him one-on-one.
That's the matchup you look for.
Get him one-on-one. see, just 50-50 ball. Give him a nice little.
Throw that thing up there. You know what? Just live it up. Okay.
Receivers, pass catchers, they're going to have to do something because, I mean, run heavy offenses, I mean,
it takes a lot of discipline to stop a run-heavy offense. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you're going to come across that team that has your number. And if you get down a couple scores, what you going to do?
You got to abandon the run, and you got to go to the pass.
You got to abandon the run. I mean, just running options and sweeps. I mean, I've yet to see someone make a 14-point, 21-point comeback just purely off just running the football. No. So you're going to have to be ready for something.
And it's going to have to be ready quick, fast, and hurry in Birmingham, Alabama, August the 29th at the Birmingham Football Classic, taking on Alabama State, who's most likely, as you can see across all media aspects, the clear-cut favorite to win the SWAC this year, considering who they have at quarterback in Andrew Boddy and the wealth of talent that he has around him on offense, defense, and special teams. Eddie Robinson Jr. does a really great job at preparing his teams coming into his fifth year, and they seem to be the team to beat in the SWAC this year with 10 wins last year, and they were at home. So now it feels it's now more than ever with Andrew Boddy. It's got to be Celebration Bowl. And I feel like for Southern, it's going to be a perfect time for them to try to flex themselves in Birmingham at Legion Field with a national television audience watching against a coach who has notoriety to his name and a fan base of a program who everybody wants bragging rights to beat. So let's get ready to take a break. When we come back on this side, I still got my man Kevin Baptiste here in the studio with me. We'll talk more and get ready to wrap this thing up. Southern University Fall Football Camp. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be back more to Jaguar Journal. All right, everybody, we are back. It is the Jaguar Journal. I'm Perry White. Glad to have you guys with us as always. Good morning to everybody listening on the radio side on Talk 107.3 FM across the Baton Rouge capital city area. Good morning to you guys as you're listening to us on terrestrial radio and everybody listening to us on digital media across the world. Good morning to you, whether it's on Facebook, it's on Twitch TV, YouTube. I think we're live on X. Are we on X2 right now? On all of that. So good morning to you. Got my man Kevin Baptiste, WFB sports reporter here in the studio talking with me. Southern University, we wrapping up week two of fall football camp. Fan Fest is today. So if you're available, Fan Fest, the doors open up. RVs are already out. Get out there, and if you need to go pick up your season parking pass, gala tickets, all of that, tickets office opens at 11 to 2 o'clock today. Southern's going to have a scrimmage, football scrimmage, at 4 o'clock at the stadium. Miss Mandy said it's not going to be on the east side. You're going to come in on the west side today. So make sure you come in on the west side. And for you,
and bring your water.
She's telling them bring
your water,
sure
water
and
your
hats. Bottles,
yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, yeah. Save that other stuff for when the season actually starts. Yeah. But yeah, bring your water.
Hey, let's talk about this because one thing I truly enjoy every year is the special that WAFB and the detail that you put into of showcasing and highlighting the program, getting ready for the season. Man, get us some information of the special coming up and what's going to be put into it.
Yes, sir. Our WAFB preseason special. The title of it is The Newest Show on Turf. Here's how I came up with that name. First off, coming up with names is always the hardest part for these specials. We do it every year, and you want to be creative. So a mix of Marshall Faulk, Greatest Show on Turf, and the fact that this team is basically just about brand new. Newest Show on Turf, boom. We switched up kind of like a few things. I ain't going to give it away. You got to wait to see whenever it drops. But, yeah, it's going to air on a Wednesday at 6:30 on WAFB, WAFB YouTube page, Roku, all that stuff. Usually we do maybe a feature, like a historic feature or something or of that nature. We're just going to keep it simple. We're just going to just introduce you to, like, the coaching staff, their philosophy, talk X's and O's on the offense and defense, some of these players, some of the new guys, some of the returning guys. But above all else, it's going to be detailed. So, yeah, Wednesday at 6:30. That's the time.
Looking forward to it, man. You always do a great job, you and the team around you, man. And you do a great job of just being interested in Southern football, which is why I appreciate you, man. You're right there. And not only that, over the years, you have given us some hilarious sound bites by just keeping it real on the air. I mean, I think the biggest one I could ever remember was the Eric Dooley. They dropped 8. Mm-hmm. Yeah, boy, you rode that until the wheels fell off.
Yeah, between that and last year after the Prairie View game, that was probably my shiny moments.
And you had social media go crazy one time with the Valley fans last year. The Valley group got at you because I ain't forgot. So you didn't think nobody paid attention. I saw that. The Valley people were not excited or happy with you after your comments.
The crazy thought is people thought that I was really just going out of my way to slander them. No, that was my true thoughts, man. It's like, that was my first time making the drive to Independence. And I'm like,
you straight on it, huh?
Once I got off the interstate, took that Yazoo City exit, and you're just going down just flat highway. Yeah, you're
going back in time. It felt like it, didn't it?
It did.
Yeah, you was ready to see that 1958 Chevy driving down.
It's like that scene from Life whenever they swing the pickaxes down the ditch and all that stuff. Like, yeah, that's what I thought I was gonna see. But hey, no harm foul to the Good Valley people. I know, hey, bro.
We call that the Delta, man. It is rich in tradition and history of a lot of families, including mine, that came out of the Delta of Arkansas. And you know, growing up like that, my grandmother and her brothers and sisters was like, to hell with this. When they graduated, they all moved to Chicago and Milwaukee, Cleveland, Kansas City, in Vegas. So that's how we were able to pull ourselves out of the Delta.
Yeah.
Okay, but I still have a lot of love for it because I've been to many blues fests and I've eaten a lot of fried catfish over in the Delta.
Okay, man. Yeah. Maybe if I hear about the actual you know, outgoing, the fun stuff like that, maybe I'll make a return. But until then, I'm good on Edomino.
Let the people know where they can keep up with you, Kevin.
Yes, sir. On WAFB, obviously, 6 and 10 every night. 5 days a week. You know, those days switch up. But also on social media, Twitter/X, Instagram, at KBetsies Jr. Season is here. That's it. I provide updates, my 2 cents, videos, highlights, just the whole 9 yards.
Yeah, you get a lot of interaction, especially X, man. They love you with your highlights and everything else and your sound bites. And for everybody out there, for me, I'm Perry White. Be sure to keep up with the Jaguar Journal across all social media. We on X, we on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitch TV, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, as well as subscribe to the Jaguar Journal YouTube channel. And for all of you out there, be sure to show up to Fan Fest today, Southern University football scrimmages at 4. And for more information in terms of the lineup and the timeline of today, for everything in terms of those events, go to Southern University Jaguar Athletics. For everybody out there, hey, if the man upstairs says the same, we'll be back next week at the same time, the same place. Because always, it's the Jaguar Journal. Y'all have a great weekend and a great week, all right?